back to the Cattle Menu podcast. I'm Caroline Rose, the founder and CEO of K Rose Company and Cattle Menu. Thank you for joining us on this episode. I'm excited to bring you these conversations each week filled with relatable advice and techniques you can take back to your operation. It's my mission to make sure that we can ranch in the next generation. Make sure and subscribe where you're listening so you never miss a new episode. Welcome to another episode of the Cattle Menu Podcast. I'm your host, Caroline, and I am here with Kelly today. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Kelly is a veterinarian, a large animal vet, who has actually played a pretty instrumental role in Cattle Menu, in particular in the Profit Finder and Ranch Camp. So why don't you give us a little bit about your background and kind of tell us how you're involved in the agriculture industry today?
Yeah, so I come from a ranching family. My family's been ranching in central Montana for a few generations, so I've kind of always been involved in the agriculture industry. I've always wanted to be a vet. I've always had an interest in that from a young age and kept pursuing that through all of my studies. So I did my undergrad at Montana State and then went to Colorado State for vet school, where you can kind of tailor your vet school education to be a little more large animal. That's one of the reasons I chose it. And then after graduating vet school, I came right back to central Montana to work in a mixed animal clinic and try to get more and more large animal with that. And so just in the past year or so, I started my own mobile large animal veterinary business that I now have started doing full time in this new year. So I work with agriculture and ranchers, farmers, all of that all the time now, which is great. That's what I've been wanting to do.
The vet world in rural America is really challenging. So talk a little bit about kind of what the climate looks like, just to get everyone up to speed on some of these topics we're going to talk about.
Yeah, it is a challenge. You have to balance the restraints that your clients have versus what you kind of need as a veterinarian in rural America. And I think that's where we're seeing a lot of these vet shortages happening, is just that we have vets coming out of vet school that have hundreds of thousands of dollars in student debt that there's just no way you can pay that off while you're in school, and trying to make ends meet and be able to pay bills and do that sort of thing, but also balancing the rancher or farmer who also isn't rich, you know, usually, and has their own financial constraints that you have to work within for doing vet work for them. And so there's kind of a balance that you have to hit with that, and it is a hard balance to find with it. And then just the demands of being a vet in rural America, often having to cover large areas, having to be on call all of the time, things like that, that you definitely have to know going into it and be okay with that lifestyle if it's going to work for you.
I think one of the hardest things, and sometimes as ranchers, we have always felt as if, you know, you pick up the phone and you call a vet and they're going to be out there right away. Mm. And, you know, the number of vets to the number of ranchers served is, the number of ranchers served is increasing and the number of vets is decreasing. And so you have a lot more clients, and I know your radius is huge, but talk a little bit about some of the things clients can do, can consider, can kind of change in their program to make sure that they're maintaining a really good relationship with their vet so that their vet does come out when they call. Not only because they can, but because they feel like it's a mutually beneficial relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do feel it's important to have that kind of mutual support between your client and your vet. You know, it's hard to want to make certain clients a priority if they only call you once a year for an emergency versus the person that does their preg checking through you or something routine like that, where you're not just seeing them once a year, you're kind of familiar with them, you have that relationship with them. So having your vet out to even do, you know, kind of a herd health check on everyone, you know, if you're not going to have them do the preg checking or the bull testing or anything like that, at least having them out once or twice a year to kind of see your operation, know what you're dealing with, you know how things run for you. And then they can, you know, maybe identify some areas that you need to work on, or you can discuss protocols for things that they can maybe handle basic stuff on their own and just build a relationship that way. Which saves everyone a lot of time in the long run too, especially if I'm getting a call on the phone from someone that I know their cattle, I know their operation, I know what they're comfortable with. A lot of those I can just give them advice on the phone and have them handle a lot of the basic stuff first, and they don't have to pay me to come out there. I don't have to go out there, and I can do other appointments. It just works for everyone.
One of the things we talk about at Ranch Camp and teach in partnership with you is that we do think it's wise as people in production agriculture to be able to do some more things mm-hmm. ourselves and use the relationship with the vet in not only a come out and preg check and semen test, but also more of a consulting role. Do you think that's where the whole industry is headed?
I think it definitely is in a lot of ways. There's a lot of people I've noticed, especially in recent years, that, you know, buy their own ultrasound and learn to preg check their own cattle, or, you know, have kind of a layperson do some work for them. And so just with the prevalence of that, I think that vet med is moving into a little more of a consulting role. In general, I'm a big fan of client education. I like if they can do the basic things on their own, if I can help them learn that and they do it. Like I said, it just saves a bunch of time for everyone in the long run, saves money for the client in the long run. But it is an interesting trend, I think, with, you know, getting people doing a little bit more of their own work and lay people doing it, and the vet moving into more of a consulting role. I don't know if it'll fully ever be that way, but I do see more of it.
I kind of see both sides, right? Because it feels as if, and maybe new producers with social media are just louder, right? Mm-hmm. But it almost seems like we kind of have these multi-generational operations that every year the generation learns more skills to be able to do on their own. And so, and these are, you know, the thing in Montana that I forget about is what is considered an average size ranch in our mind mm-hmm. to the rest of the world is a pretty big ranch, but it's not, you know, shocking for someone to run a couple hundred, 300-400 mother cows around here. A lot. I mean, that's what a lot of our neighbors sit in. And so it seems as if those operations are definitely moving more towards the consulting and the having a vet more as a partner. And then we have a lot of new producers, and I'm sure as we talk about, you know, using your vet as a consultant, if this is the first time you've ever owned cattle, that can be really intimidating because that, you know, your vet's going to be on speed dial. So talk about a few things, maybe talk first about how to pick a vet, you know, and how to interview and how to decide who you want to work with. And then kind of what are some things you should call your vet for when you're just starting out and you're just kind of either taking over or you just bought some cows?
Yeah, and that's a good point. I definitely agree that the larger ranches are having more of that consultant relationship versus the newer producers that I am going out there quite a bit and doing those basic things with them and trying to teach them that. I think for picking a vet, I mean, once again, we get back to the issue with more rural areas of you might only have one option, you know, for 100 miles or more. But if you have multiple options, I mean, most vets have a website that you can kind of look through and see what they offer, make sure that they're offering the services that you're looking for, work on the species that you're looking for, and then, you know, having them out or, you know, going into the clinic, something to get a face-to-face meeting with them, I think is super important because you can get an idea of people's personalities that way, more so than over the phone or anything like that. And I think that's an important thing too. Not that you can't work with someone that you don't necessarily mesh with personality-wise, but I do think it makes things easier communication-wise going forward. So little things like that, I think, are important to look into if you're finding a vet for the first time. And there's nothing wrong with using a couple different vets. You know, if one vet really is into reproductive stuff and you have them do that, and you have another vet that, you know, really likes to specialize in another thing, I don't think that there's any problem with that personally. I think it, you know, gives everyone a chance to do what they like and are good at. And then you have multiple options for vets too. So if you're in an area where that works out, that's great. As far as the smaller operations, kind of knowing when should I call a vet, when should I not? If you know nothing, you know, there's never a wrong time to call a vet if you just are kind of overwhelmed with all of it. We do quite a few appointments for clients like that where, you know, we're going and doing some pretty basic things like tubing calves or doing vaccines for people or just things that would seem really basic to someone who's been in the cattle industry, but these people are just starting out and learning. And if they're willing to pay for that and we have the chance to educate them, I think that's great. But beyond that, you know, sick cattle, injured cattle, anything that you don't feel like that you have the equipment or the medications to handle, any of those, you should be calling your vet also.
I think you made an interesting point there about having multiple vets. It's sort of, you know, sometimes you worry about, like, with hairdressers, and this is a funny comment, all the men are going to laugh who are listening to the podcast, but they always say, oh, you cheated on your hairdresser. And I actually don't think vets feel that same way. Like, I think, one, if we want vets in rural communities, it's important to give our business to multiple, but also there are calls that you just dread. You know what I mean? It's a service where you're like, dang, I really don't like to do that. And we should be doing less work of the stuff that really just is the exact opposite of what brings us joy. But that's been a big philosophy of ours is, I mean, there's 4 vet clinics in the area. And when I talk about in the area, the farthest away is 1 hour, actually maybe even 5 vet clinics that we use. And we just use them for different things. I mean, we kind of have, you know, it depends on if we're shipping grass yearlings and they're up near one clinic, we'll call them for the health, or if they're down here, or we have a mobile guy. And so we try to spread our money around a little bit and support the clinics. And we've really found their zone of genius. And we like to work in that. And I think knowing that and being able to say, okay, I'm going to call this vet for this, or, you know, they have an office staff so they can get me healths easier or whatever it is. But I do think that is something that maybe doesn't seem appropriate if you're just getting into the industry, but is a good practice.
This summer on June 17th through 21st, 2024, we're hosting She's a Hand Ranch Camp Summer Camp Edition. This camp will be an opportunity for young women 15 to 18 years old to come to Montana and learn hands-on cattle handling skills. We'll be accepting 14 applications. You can apply today at the form below or request more information by emailing info@cattlemenu.com.
Yeah, for sure. And the one caveat I would say to that is, you know, if you're where you use multiple vets, but one of them you're only calling in the middle of the night for emergencies, that's not recommended. But if you're spreading out routine work like your family does, I see no problem with that. I'm sure a lot of vets would have no problem with that. We're all super busy with, you know, shortages of large animal vets and whatnot. We all have plenty of work to go around. So I have no problem with that. And I think it works out well.
Yeah, the middle of the night calls, those are the worst. And I think they're the worst as ranchers too, because you just know. You're like, dang, they're going to have to get out of bed. Or I remember one time we called our vet and it wasn't quite like middle of the night, but it was late and he brought his wife because they were on a date. So we felt terrible about that for forever. They were all dressed up. We're like, well, sorry about that.
Yeah, it happens. That's the lifestyle.
And I think, too, you can build a good rapport that your customers know when it's a true emergency. And that's really where the relationship comes into play, right? Our vets know in our operation, and you know my brother after attending ranch camp, but if my brother calls on the phone and says, I need you out here, I mean, they should put lights and sirens on, probably. We're not talking about a run-of-the-mill thing. We're not talking about, I just want you to, help with this is a true emergency of some sort. And knowing that and being able to be honest with your vet, that's another thing. You know, in Montana, you're not supposed to preg check if you're not a licensed vet. And so I know a lot of people will preg check their own, but then they're worried about telling their vet. And I'm like, I understand, but the vet has to know, have these cattle been preg checked? Do we know what's coming? Like, is this calf premature? And so some of that is really finding the best relationship. And then also, just like with your medical history, right? You got to be very honest. Let them know everything that's going on. And if you used another vet or if you tried this. And I think sometimes we want to only tell the stuff that makes us look good, but instead your vet kind of needs to know it all.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It makes everything go a lot faster and easier if we just know the whole story right off the bat. And you get into that a little bit with all aspects of vet med. I mean, in small animal clinics with, things like marijuana toxicity or whatnot, like, we're not here to judge you. We just need to know so we can fix the problem.
Yeah, I never thought about that, actually. I'm sure in small animal vet world is so different.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely. Okay, so one of the things you talked about in the Profit Finder is just some skills that you feel should be able to be learned by ranchers and something that they can do enough to be confident. If someone was taking notes during this podcast, what are a few skills that maybe you get phone calls about that you think are something that if you want to make a checklist and check things off of things you're going to learn, what's on that?
Yeah, so I know a couple of the things we covered during Profit Finder. One of the big ones was veining cattle, whether that's drawing blood or giving an IV injection. And I talked about it, Profit Finder, Ranch Camp, all of that. But I love when people can vein cattle and can give IV injections or to horses or anything. It is such a help because there are some medications that have to go IV or are just going to act a lot quicker and be more effective IV. And so if the client has the skill to do that, that makes their lives easier. It makes things easier for us. That's one less thing that we have to come and do. So I think that's a hugely important skill to learn. Beyond that, super basic, knowing where to give IM injections, knowing landmarks for doing that, knowing how to do all of the processing stuff that we cover during ranch camp, I think is super important for the people that are just kind of starting out and don't know that. And then
tubing probably and taking temperatures.
Yeah, definitely just getting a rectal temperature, knowing how to tube calves, ideally knowing how to tube adult cattle for bloats. That's something I get calls for sometimes, and I'm a fair distance away, and it's a bit of an emergency, so knowing how to pass a stomach tube into a steer or something would be a skill that I would love everyone to know and have. And then you obviously get into the calving stuff of knowing, how to assess where you're at with things, being able to pull a calf, knowing when you need to stop and maybe call a vet or switch methods or something like that. That's, a little more specialized than the basic skills, but still something you need to know if you're in the cattle business.
Yeah, I didn't really think about bloat, but yeah, figuring out how to tube kind of a mature cow as well as a calf, because man, I remember my 4-H steers bloated one time. My dad stabbed them, which meant they weren't good 4-H steers after that, really. But it was kind of one of those things where it was like, okay, action has to be taken right now.
Yeah, for sure. And then if you're, like I said, if you're in an area where your vet is an hour away, I mean, that's almost too long for them to wait before getting treatment on it. And you can do the stab into the side to let gas off. But if it's more of a frothy bloat, tubing is kind of the only way that you're going to get some of that out of there. And so, yeah, that's a big skill that I wish people were taught more and were more comfortable doing.
Great. That will definitely be added to the checklist because I think that is wise. Talk a little bit about kind of some, I know you talk at ranch camp, like meds to have on hand. And what are, you know, your go-tos that you carry around with you all the time, but you also recommend that ranchers have in their pickup or in their vet shack, just kind of all the time, not one of those where you're going to buy them right when you need them, but you just keep a supply on hand.
Yeah. So at ranch camp, especially since we have all ranges of experience, I kind of start with the most basic, working upwards from that. So I think that at the bare minimum, what people should have is a bottle of injectable Bantamine, which you can use for pain, fever, swelling, all of those things. Penicillin, the most, you know, common basic antibiotic, still is so practical and so works for so many situations. And then some oxytetracycline, which is like your LA-200, LA-300 sort of products, which can be a little better than penicillin for things like foot rot or pink eye or things like that. I think that's kind of the bare minimum that you should have on it. Other things that I carry commonly and use commonly would be like Exceed and Draxin for antibiotics. Those both have a little more specialized uses for certain situations that can be helpful, whether it's more of like an infected uterus for cattle. Exceed can be pretty good for that. Draxin is a pretty good broad spectrum antibiotic. I like to have it on hand mostly for any mycoplasma type situations because it's about the only antibiotic that will get that. And then beyond that, I don't carry a lot of anything else for antibiotics. I have some Nuflor that I'll use just in specialized cases. But that's about it. So I don't think that, you know, I think if you have those basics and then maybe some Exceed or Draxin floating around for something that's a lot more serious, you know, whether that's a serious respiratory disease or something like that, that should cover all of your bases that way.
It seems as if in the, I want to say drug world, but that's in the cattle medicine world. One, it seems as if vets carry different products. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that. And then also, there are some products that you can get down at your local farm and ranch store. And so talk a little bit about, you know, where you should buy your meds, kind of why vets carry different brands or recommend different brands.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of that has changed in the past year with that new FDA guideline that went out that pulled all of the over-the-counter antibiotics off of the shelves. So you used to be able to get things like penicillin, LA-200, kind of the more basic antibiotics like that over-the-counter at your feed store or wherever. That has changed since, I think it happened in June of this year. And so you might still see some of it floating around because they're allowed to sell the stock that they still had on hand. And then after that, they can't anymore. It's all prescription only now. And that only applies to antibiotics. You can still get your vaccines. You can still get your dewormer, things like that. You can still get at your feed store. But anything basically that contains an antibiotic got pulled. And a lot of that had to do with drug resistance. So with the slaughter facilities, processing facilities, USDA, vets and employees are always taking samples, testing for drug residues, things like that is just part of our food supply safety. And they were noticing, you know, more drug resistance, more disease, things like that happening. And so that's where a lot of this came from, was just getting on top of that. You know, if people don't know exactly what they're doing, if they're new to the industry, they're trying 5 different antibiotics for something before they get anyone else involved, you know, that's leading to issues. So because of that, you have to get antibiotic stuff from your veterinarian. And that's where having that relationship with your veterinarian really comes back into play again, because we just have to have a relationship with you and have seen your animals once a year to be able to write you prescriptions. So whether that's we come out and pray check, whether that's we come do a consulting role thing, talk about protocols for handling stuff on your ranch, any of that counts. And we can write you prescriptions for the rest of the year. So it shouldn't be an issue for the people that already were set up with a vet and are using one. And like you said, with your family using multiple vets, I mean, you can source from multiple places too. Maybe some people already have a stock of something on hand that they can get you quickly, whereas the other vet would have had to order it, that sort of thing. So it works out that way too. But anything else you can get over the counter. I have some people that do order their vaccines through me. Sometimes we can get, you know, almost a little better pricing for them that way. And then all of the different drug companies to offer their own sort of rewards programs, rebate programs. The Draxxin rebate is a big one where you can get money back from Zoetis on that if you're buying it through your veterinarian, but that's kind of the caveat to it. So overall, it's almost a little better to try to source it from your veterinarian somehow, but you don't necessarily have to for things like vaccines.
We are so excited to bring you Cattlemen U merch. This, our first merch drop, is centered around our mission of supporting the beef industry and the women in it. You can never have enough graphic tees or crew necks, whether you're out working cattle or in the field or running errands. You can grab the perfect piece to add to your closet now. Shop today at cattlemenulive.com/store.
I think the way we develop our system, and I could be incorrect, but we find the programs, right, Zoetis? Mm-hmm. Any one of the programs, so we make sure we're registered with all those programs every single year, even if it's a brand we don't think we're going to use, because you never know, you get some cattle in, something like that you might need to use that. And then we always call to see what's in stock, but it's really important to us that people will ship directly to the house. Mm-hmm. And so we have learned that we order like our dog stuff from one vet, our horse stuff from one vet, our cattle stuff from one vet. And then we really use the, you know, Rocky Mount Supply, Murdoch's as like we're out, we bought too many cattle, we got to run in and get it now.
Yeah.
Type of relationship. So we're still supporting them, but we found this kind of fine line of being able to support all with making it work for us and for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's the other side of it for sure is, you know, back to the rancher aspect of it, trying to balance keeping that relationship with your veterinarian and supporting them in that way, but also, you know, being able to get things quickly, or maybe they're sold a little bit cheaper at the feed store or anything like that. I mean, those are just decisions that you have to make for your operation, and that's understandable. There's not a lot we can do about pricing on drugs, unfortunately, so people have to do what they have to do.
Absolutely. If you could tell a rancher anything that you wish they could know from a vet perspective, what would it be?
I feel like we've covered a lot of it so far. You know, I just think it's super important to keep that relationship with your vet and support them throughout the year. There's kind of a phrase, you know, of if you don't support my family during the day, like, why should I leave them at night sort of deal, which I think is something that doesn't often get thought about, is that we have lives too. You know, we try to anyway, outside of work, and we have other responsibilities and things like that. So it is frustrating in those situations where you have someone that you never do any work for, and they just call you in the middle of the night and want you to come out and, you know, if you're busy or if you can't or anything, you know, we get a lot of anger at us that way sometimes too. And so it's kind of hard to set those boundaries, but I do think overall most people are pretty good about it. It's just something that maybe should be thought about a little bit more. And then also just, you know, learning the basics, working with your vet to learn those basic skills like veining cattle and things like that. I've like I said, I wish everyone would do that and know it, make everyone's lives easier.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, too, that I just thought about is, you know, when you think about scheduling your work, a lot of times we schedule on the weekends because we get more help that way, but that's also the weekend for the vet.
Yeah. And that can be difficult for sure. Before I moved into just being my own boss, obviously I can set my own schedule however I want now, but there's definitely been times during preg checking season when I was working at other clinics where I had appointments all week that I was working literally every single day of the month. And I'm fine to do that in a way during those seasons because I understand people have more help on the weekends. That's when it's easiest to schedule, but it wears on you after a while and it gets tiring and, you know, things fall by the wayside in other aspects of your life. So I wouldn't tell people don't schedule on weekends or anything like that. I think we all understand that that's just part of the job. But I guess if there's any other vets or anything listening, I would just encourage them to, you know, set boundaries with their schedule that way to not burn themselves out on that. And that's what I do now is I basically just plan on working weekends during preg checking season. And if I need to take, you know, Monday, Tuesday off, plan on that for a couple weeks or something. I'm lucky enough now being my own boss that I get to do that.
Yeah, I think the 7 days a week and especially being on the road and everything really gets people burnt out. And so I think boundaries are really needed. And you're going to work on the weekends, you're going to work evenings. We know that too. But just being conscientious and making sure that you don't call your vet and say, okay, you got to come on Tuesday, you know, having some more options and some things like that. Just really, I think that relationship and that partnership between the vet and the ranch is going to become more and more important. We know the number of vets are decreasing. We know that it's going to be harder and harder to get vets. And so just being aware that, you know, they can say no and they can have you find a different vet. And so just, I think being respectful of that relationship goes a long ways.
Yeah. And I mean, we feel like we keep hitting the same points here, but just to that point again, just knowing that, you know, that we maybe have less vets, they're trying to, you know, have some boundaries in their lives. Also, using multiple vets works out great that way too. And just having the basic skills down, having protocols set with your vet also helps a lot with that, where we can maybe just have a quick phone call about something and you handle it on your own, saving you the outcall fee and everything like that. But you still have that vet involvement. And so just to our earlier points, I think that that just continues to help with all of these issues that we identify.
Absolutely. Okay, perfect. Let's get into some of our rapid fire questions.
Okay.
The first one's kind of fun. It is, what is your favorite cut of steak and how do you like to cook it?
Ooh. I love a good T-bone steak. And I mean, just barbecued or pan fried. I mean, just the basics of it. I'm not fancy with it. So any of it's good for me.
I think T-bone has been a more common response than I expected. So really? I'm going to have to revisit T-bones and see how they compare to ribeye, which would be my winner. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what is an ag industry topic that you think needs talked about in the media more often?
I would say, just thinking of something that applies to my industry, and I know that you guys posted about it as well, is just mental health in the ag industry, whether that's the veterinary side, whether that's the rancher side. There's definitely been more awareness about the veterinary side in recent years, but I feel like the rancher farmer side is still really overlooked, and how people can, you know, have a lot of pressure in this industry. I mean, there's some years that are really great. There's some years that really suck, and there's a lot of pressure on those ranchers and farmers to make ends meet for their family, and that can take a toll on them. And then you have the issue also of the kind of old school thought of can't seek help and you shouldn't, you know, do therapy or talk to anyone or things like that. I just think more awareness around that is super important for the long run.
I would agree. And I love that mental health is coming up more often on the podcast, but just in general, it's almost like a word we have been so afraid of for a long time. And just saying the word over and over and kind of getting us more immune to that conversation, I think everything like that is a step forward.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, next, what is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of a piece of advice, but through almost everything growing up, my dad's like catchphrase that he always told us before, you know, sports games or before jobs or anything like that, he'd always say, work hard, have fun, which I think is a pretty good motto for life. I try to keep that. So, you know, just doing your job, working hard at it, doing a good job, but also having fun with it at the same time. And I think about that a lot sometimes with my job.
Yeah, do more work we enjoy and do less work we don't enjoy. Meaning, you know, if you can outsource or if you can trade with someone and do the work that really lights you up, I think we need to be more cautious of that in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, last question. This one's kind of fun. You can't say vet because that's cheating, but what is your non-career dream job?
This might be kind of cheating also, but I would say rancher. I do plan to take over my family's ranch eventually, so I get a little bit of involvement with it right now, but trying to get more and more into it, especially now that I'm my own boss. But I guess like a totally like unrelated to anything that I do now thing would maybe be like an outdoors sort of guide. I really like being in the outdoors and hiking and doing all of that sort of stuff. So I could see myself doing something that way too.
Yeah, that's similar to one other answer. I can't remember which guest it was, but they said they wanted to be the host at like KOA parks or RV parks.
Oh yeah. I actually used to work at KOA and I really enjoyed it. So it's a good one.
Like, wouldn't that be fun? You just get to travel around and camp for a while at this place and that place. And I was like, oh yeah, if we didn't have bills to pay, think of all the things we could
do. Right? Yeah.
Well, perfect. I appreciate your time and I appreciate everything you do for Cattlemen U. We're lucky to have you teach inside the Profit Finder and attend ranch camp and just be a really great role model for what a good vet relationship looks like. And I think we've learned a lot with you being around, and we're just excited to see how our relationship grows. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I've been happy to be a part of all of it, and I appreciate you guys too. It's been great working with you all on all these projects.
Yeah, it's been really fun, and I know the women at Ranch Camp really enjoy having you there.
Good.
Thanks again for listening to the Cattlemen U podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. We are thankful to have you in your community. Like always, remember, the grass is greener where you water it.